Hello and welcome to Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we went through all of the Disney animated features and then all of the Pixar features. And then, oh boy, we did it. We went through all of the Disney Channel original movies. I'm Claire.
I'm Oscar.
And I'm Rachel.
Oh boy, oh boy. Okay, wow. So, before we get into why it's so amazing and special, I think that over there... Who do I see? Well, it's from the podcast Movies That Made Us Gay. It's Scott Jungbauer.
Hello.
Hi.
It's so nice to see you. I'm glad that you found me in this vault.
This is such an exciting part of the
vault. It's been a while. I've been sitting here the entire time waiting for you.
It took us
the entire length of the podcast.
Yeah, it did. Funny you should say, because not only is this a familiar area of the vault, but it is as far as the vault goes for now. In this Disney Channel original movie section. Yeah, new construction here. Mm-hmm. But
some of the paint is still
Wi-Fi.
Wet.
What do you all see besides these wet paint signs?
Oh, I see two rings in a little cute coffin is what I see.
Mm-hmm. I think that I spot Buzzy's hearse.
Mm.
In
yes.
fact, I'm sitting in it right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I see a tablet that you use to order room service.
Yeah. I see a bunch of snacks that I'm excited about, but someone else is not excited about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we are talking about
Under Wraps 2.
Wow. What a journey we've been on with Under Wraps.
It is the very first DCOM.
Yeah.
And now what a strange thing to close
full circle
this
moment.
Chapter. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And it's interesting because as we know, the first one does not have a sequel. So this is a brand new movie, brand new
That's
story.
True.
Mm-hmm. Had you all seen in the few days it had been available, had you seen Under Wraps 2 before this viewing?
No, and this just came out like Friday, didn't it?
Yeah, it's very new.
Brand new. I mean, this is my first foray into the Under Wraps cinematic, television multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
I was going in blind. Place. Like I was given the movie, and I was just like, here we go.
Oh, I
fire
love,
up the
okay.
Disney Plus.
I can't wait to hear how that experience was.
The Under Wraps television multiverse.
Yeah.
Did you find it easy to jump in and be on board with what was going on?
Okay, so I did search a trailer for the first... Well, I guess it's like a requel. It's like not quite a sequel. It's like a remake of the first movie, which was from 97. I searched the trailer for that going in. But I was glad that the first, 4 minutes of this movie was previously on Under Wraps.
Yes.
I was very thankful for that. So
that's the
it
thing
was
with DCOMs.
Easy to follow.
Yeah, they're really good at being like, oh, if you haven't seen this before, blank. And Scott, you texted me, you're like, do I need to watch Under Wraps? And I said, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're pretty user friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually it just jumps right into the story. But yeah, this time we did get a little bit of a recap. But, you know, before we go into our recap, Scott, tell us about your connection to Disney.
Well, I was definitely a Disney kid growing up. I mean, I'm not quite the full Disney gay, because, I mean, that's like a whole thing
okay,
of just sort
Scott,
of
I want you to take
Disney
the time
gays.
To define what a Disney gay is.
I mean, I feel like you can just kind of be casual about it. Like, I go to Disneyland. We just went to Florida, like, last year for Disney World. So we did a whole vacation for it. But I feel like the very specific Disney gay is, like, some serious stuff. Like, you possibly have framed artwork in your apartment or house of, like, the Disneyland rides. Like, actually, and we're not just talking about, like, tacked up on the wall. We're talking framed glass... like pictures. I mean, what else? I mean, I feel like a Disney gay has like the top membership that you could possibly get.
Yes.
Like, what do they call the key? Like, what's like the most like exclusive
dream,
one that you can
I
get.
Think? Or it
oh
used
yeah,
to be
you,
dream. I think it's something. It's something else now.
You got like the dream key or whatever it's called, so you can go pretty much like 12 months out of the year, and you.
Yeah.
It's probably like doing a Mercedes payment every month. So yeah, I feel like me and my husband are just sort of casual Disney fans.
Yes.
We've covered a few Disney movies on our podcast. I think that we've done the animated Robin Hood, Sleeping Beauty, and Little Mermaid. And there's still more that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely just grew up on Disney. I mean, the Disney Channel, when I was a kid in the early 90s, I mean, it was a huge deal of just sort of getting to watch the Disney Channel. I saw so many just weird movies that the Disney Channel was programming at that time. This was pre, like, anything that they were doing, like, under wraps when they did, like, their first movie. This was just, like, a quirky cable station, or a quirky premium cable station that would just program just a lot of random stuff. And oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff off the Disney Channel. And I remember, like, the MMC when I was a kid with, like, Justin and Christina. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I know. It is funny how I think, yeah, there was a point where I feel like Disney didn't create its own shows the way it did, like, maybe later 90s and on. So, yeah, it was kind of a funny.
I think they would get shows a lot from Saturday morning on ABC or something, and then they would just program them. It's like they would get weird Canadian shows like Under the Umbrella Tree.
Yes!
And just put them in circulation.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and it would be playing some weird movie from the 60s or something like that.
Ooh,
too.
Like Watcher in the Woods.
Like I was thinking today, I was like, did I watch one of the Planet of the Apes movies on Disney? And
yeah,
I probably did just because I feel like their evening time slots were just like, we want a teenager to adult demographic, so we're just going to program
a lot of
some
Zorro.
Random movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of Zorro.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then eventually they were like, we have Lizzie McGuire, and, you know.
And I feel like by the time that they were doing that, I had kind of aged out of it. I have not seen a lot of the made-for-TV Disney movies at all. Like, I mean, I was in college by the time the High School Musical wave came around, so I was far too old for that. A little too old for Lizzie McGuire when I was in high school. Around that time, I was probably watching, like, Singled Out MTV when the first Under Wraps came on.
Oh,
so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need a little advice on which are good and which are bad, we have seen all of them now.
That is crazy. That is so much content. That is so much content. And it's one of those things that when my husband and I were watching it today, I had to remind myself, oh, this is for kids. So it's like I can't really nitpick a lot of stuff in this movie because
no, that's my job.
The key demographic is like 9 to 10.
It hits a very specific tone, the DCOM, because it's not, it's like a certain demographic and also a certain budget. And so it's interesting to see how they kind of ebb and flow over time. So,
I mean, it looked like they kind of put some major cash in Under Wraps, too.
Yeah.
So they were like, they were pulling out all the stops.
Yeah. Disney Channel does have money. So their movies have a pretty big budget, but it's for kids.
Mm-hmm. Also, they do them less. There was a point in time where they released one every month.
Sure.
And now it's less than that, much less than that.
And
I
those
mean, you guys
are probably cheaper to make, though, because these ones require a lot of, like, action and graphics and stuff. And I'm thinking back on, like, things where it was just like, I'm at home with
a lot of just kids in high school.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mom, and I told you a million times.
I'm sure that you guys have talked about it, but just with the introduction of Disney Plus, it's just like, is the Disney Channel even relevant anymore? Like, what's happening on the Disney Channel now?
Well,
that's the thing, because they aired the movie on Disney Channel like a week before Disney Plus. So it's kind of like the thing with movies now where like movies are in theaters and then like 2 months later they're on like HBO Max. They're kind of giving the Disney Channel the like early release of it. So that kids are still like, I gotta watch it the night it comes out. But then it's just on Disney Plus.
It is interesting. I think also I've noticed sometimes they'll put a graphic on live TV that you can watch again on Disney Plus. So I don't really know what's going on with the numbers there and what they want, but it's just interesting. So it's I guess both are relevant now. Yeah. So
I know that when I worked at Freeform, we pushed people to watch things on Hulu because we knew that people were watching more on Hulu. So we like made the Hulu graphics bigger.
Interesting. New media.
People aren't really watching TV anymore. They're watching things later. So
yeah, not so new.
And it's interesting when you look at just sort of the history of the Disney Channel and just pay for television channels in the 80s. And I think when just the public found out, oh, this is a station that I'm going to have to exclusively pay for. Like, are you kidding me? And now it's like every single home has Disney Plus. So it's come full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I mean, yeah. It's such a weird time. And I keep saying, like, eventually it does feel like it's going to go back to a cable situation where you can just find everything in one app again or one place. Because it's so, the landscape is pretty nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So shall we
wrap it up?
Oh, shall we wrap it up? let's get under these wraps. So there wasn't a ton of background information on this movie, but as we know, it premiered on September 25th, 2022 on the Disney Channel. And it was the first Disney Channel original movie that's a sequel to something that wasn't a musical since Twitches 2.
Wow.
So a lot of bobs and weaves on that fact. But it is interesting. Still counts. We haven't seen. What was that?
Still counts. That's what when I win awards, it'll be very specific. But I'll be like, but still counts.
Yes, you know, it does.
The first person from Merritt Island, Florida, still counts.
Yeah. The first Disney Channel original movie that's a sequel to something that wasn't a musical since Twitches 2 that is also Halloween themed.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
That was part of the fact. I can't take credit for that. But anyway, so we open up with that nice little recap that Marshall gives us.
I do have a fun fact, but not really a fact, but I was at Disneyland when they had the premiere for this, and it was held in the Lincoln Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, because I wanted to go take a nap there because I was tired, and they were like, it's closed right now, so I couldn't.
And it was very fun. And they just showed it in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln?
Wait, no, it was like a closed-off private party.
Oh, sure.
Okay, I see.
Gotcha.
Like, Scott, do you mean, like, was Mr. Lincoln on stage and they're like projecting over him?
Behind him, he's just standing there and it's like behind him. That'd be great. I love to watch that.
So fortunately, we do get the recap. And we open up in this corn maze. Oh my God, y'all. This was so scary to me.
I wish this was a real thing. Are there haunted corn mazes in LA? Because I would go. Sounds fun.
I love a good corn maze.
Yeah. I can't say I've ever done a corn maze, but this seemed very scary. And there are haunted hay rides, but I know that's not a corn maze.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of like a hybrid of like a not scary farm and like a corn maze. So it's like actors walking around scaring you.
Yeah.
Scare actors, as they're called.
So we get Marshall, Amy, and Gilbert. They're in this corn maze, but then all of a sudden everything stops abruptly. The lights come on, you know, as they do in places when, you know, TikTok, it's 10 o'clock. We got to stop, even if it ruins the whole illusion of the corn maze. So we thought they were cornered, but then we find out they're there because Gilbert is not a scaredy cat anymore, but now he makes videos for the school paper.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with the school paper and movies and TV of just sort of like pop culture, what they say about high school newspapers. Yeah. Like, I love it. Nothing like it is in real life. These kids are like breaking the news. Andrew
the
Zucker,
paper, it's
Zuckerman
and,
style. I love
and
it.
And now it's the school paper website is like, obviously. They
I mean, Prince
have an
dead.
App.
Yep.
Yes, Prince.
They're verified. They've got their own TikTok, their own YouTube.
Come on. They're making that content, baby. Fully. Absolutely. So Amy is writing for the paper, and Gilbert has, oh my gosh, what is it called? I thought
Gutsy.
I wrote it down.
Oh, Gutsy Thank Gilbert. We're also obsessed with Gutsy Gilbert's, like, professionally shot YouTube videos of this,
know,
like,
the budget is
of this, like, 14-year-old. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine growing up being a content creator like that? Like, I'm just
Friends of ours who are teachers, when they go around the room and say, like, what do you want to be when they grow up? Our friends say that they all just say YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTubers now. That's like the go-to answer.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's the new, like, astronaut.
Dentist?
Actor. Yeah. Dentist? Wait, everyone in your class was saying they want to be a dentist?
They need to be told the realities of content creation. Those people are not happy.
Well, when I go on social media, all the time people are telling me it's easy to be a content creator and this is how you do it. And
they're
that's not what they say.
And they're all, especially if you become a Disney content creator, it's a vicious world, I will say. As someone who gets invited to media events where influencers are there and I'm just a crappy press person standing in the corner, I get to watch all the catty little back talk and all this stuff.
Wait, you mean there's like drama between them?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine.
Because they're all basically posting the exact same thing. They all go to these exact same things. So it's like, what's your specific special thing that you show?
What's your Gutsy Gilbert angle?
Yeah. It's like
they
got
to end up in that. They got to end up in your YouTube like algorithm to get people to watch.
What's the take? What's the take? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like people are using certain people in their videos to be like, oh, I know you have more followers than me, so I'm going to put you in my like thumbnail of my YouTube video so people click on it. And then it's like, what? And then it's, you're using me for views, you know, all that stuff.
So all y'all listening, wanting to be content creators, think again.
Yeah, it's a very dramatic.
Become dentists. Become dentists. Yeah.
It's that's
the world
so much
needs
easier.
More dentists.
They do,
because you know what? Teeth are real. Content is
real too, but you know.
So we find out Amy's dad's wedding is this weekend, and it's gonna be a hollow wedding because it's on Halloween. And they're all going to go, and it's in Rockport, which is where Amy used
Oscar,
to live.
Wait, Oscar, you went to a Halloween wedding once, right?
I did, yeah.
Was
I
it
couldn't
fun?
Even imagine.
I had a really good time. However, it is one of those things where if you do party on Halloween, it is like, oh, it's a wedding. I'm going to a wedding instead of a Halloween party. So, but I loved it. I thought it was really great. And the themes were pretty good. I mean, it was a spectacle. It was really, really nice.
Having planned a wedding like 5 years ago, I could not even imagine. Like, we had an October wedding.
Ooh.
No thank you. Like, that would just add on to the stress of planning a wedding. I don't want to think about what people are going to wear. What about, like, your aunt that's, like, coming in from out of town? Do you have to worry about her?
Yeah, and then I also think about... Then you always have an anniversary on Halloween. It's never separate, you know?
That's true. It's like having your birthday on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. You should plan to have your birthday a different day. Yeah.
Oscar, Oscar, I have to say, like, good move for having me on Under Wraps 2. We get a gay wedding. So
We possibly could have covered this
on our show.
Could be a crossover app.
I love it.
But, yeah, this was because Under Wraps. So Under Wraps.
Oh, yeah.
The first one, she talks about her dad's, and she does have a pride pin, and it's like the first time it alludes to queer, like outwardly queer representation in a DCOM. And then we have Zombies 3, which has our first non-binary character, and we have a queer relationship. But this is at a whole new level.
Oh, we got
Not
the
only
gay
do
wedding.
We have it's a gay wedding, two gay dads, and we see a gay kiss.
Oh, yes. And isn't it?
Unbelievable.
It's really cool, too, because during Under Wraps, weren't we like, hey, we wanted more?
Yeah.
And then, look at this, Under Wraps 2. They said,
inside the Disney vault, we'll give you what you want.
They're taking notes. We're now helping write the movies as we go. So we find out Amy is in charge of the welcome party, and she's calling it a shock tale.
Oh, my God. I have so many thoughts about this. about, could you imagine planning a wedding? And I'm going to, like, how old is this character? Like 14?
Yeah, around 14.
Could you imagine having a 14-year-old in charge of, I mean, I guess it's just cocktail hour. She's not planning the whole wedding, but that girl has to book vendors. I mean, I'm assuming that this hotel is hooking her up with, like, alcohol. Yeah. It's not like she's going to, like, Costco to go on, like, a beer and liquor run.
Well, you're because she even said, she was like, I'm a kid. I can't give them a gift, but I can give them this very elaborate thing that also will cost a lot of money and take a lot of time and planning.
Yeah, who's paying for this?
Sorry not to interrupt your thought there, but yeah.
But, like,
funny.
I can't with it. But I also love it because it's the type of thing that you would totally see Jesse Spano do on, like, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Just sort of, just so not realistic and just, like, kid TV that they are planning a part of the reception.
Well,
I love it.
And then along with that, you know, her dad and Carl are both very, like, very understanding. So it kind of makes sense that they're
pretty cool when she lost those engagement rings.
I mean,
it seemed like they didn't really want, though, they just wanted to get married, but they didn't really want a big spectacle. But she was the one who was like, no, we're doing this, we're doing that. I'm planning this. Yeah. And she seems like the kind of, like, you know, genius kid who, like, is like, whoa, you're doing all that? Okay. You know? Yeah.
She's a journalist. She gets things done. She gets down to the details. So, we also find out that there's an exhibit where Harold is at the museum nearby. So, wow, what are the chances? Gilbert and Amy have named Harold's girlfriend Rose. And immediately Marshall's like, wait a second. When did that happen? Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this. So we're getting the sense that Marshall feels a little left out.
So, okay, just question about under wraps. The girlfriend just didn't have a name, like, an Egyptian, like, just name.
No. They like to give them Hasuna their own
Moon
names.
From, like, the Brendan Fraser Mummy. She doesn't have, like, a name.
She does, but these are kids. They're not going to be, like, they named this mummy, who I'm sure has a name, Harold. You know what I mean? It's like.
Sure. Yeah. That name doesn't sound very Egyptian.
Yeah, no, they got the Ellis Island treatment. They're like, we're changing it.
I was looking up the actor that plays Harold is a big choreographer, and it makes sense when you look at the performance. Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Rose, too. She's she's an accomplished dancer, and you can see that, too, in her performance.
I love it. I love the part you're alluding to. So we get the secret handshake between Gil and Amy, and Marshall's like, it's not a secret if you do it in front of me. And then, then we cut to a different museum, and there's an intern who, DCOM of all DCOM styles, is eating a meatball sub very clumsily, and one of the meatballs rolls underneath a mummy, and it pushes. Please tell me, what were the thoughts happening with everyone in this part?
It's like they were like, how do we get it? I know, a meatball. They were in the writer's room and they were all eating meatballs sandwiches for lunch. And they were like, what if this?
The way he was narrating this whole thing was like, my meatball. How am I going to?
I'm just
going to
pick up this meatball off the floor and just, I guess, eat it.
Yeah,
and guess the mummy is not secured very well.
There are people who talk to themselves like that, and there's reasons for that.
And so he pushes the mummy into the moonlight, which activates its pendant and awakens the mummy, who we learn is Sobek. So Sobek wants to get back the love of his life and eternally rest beside her. And
we know this because he doesn't talk, but he does mind control this man.
Yeah.
Into speaking for him. So essentially this guy is the voice of Sobek.
Yeah.
It's
so
kind of like Jafar with his thingy.
You also see that in the 99 Mummy movie with Benny. Is that
that's right.
The mummy has somebody that does his bidding. I think that's just kind of a convention of old monster movies when it comes to the character of the mummy. It's is that they like, kind of need somebody to maybe walk a little faster
and it's like
get stuff done.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. An assistant, so to speak. get the coffee, do the groceries.
Mm-hmm. An intern, if you will.
Yep. An intern, there it
is. So really, he just had a lateral promotion.
Yeah.
Not even a promotion. That sucks when that happens, you know? And the other one was probably paying him something, and this one's not. So.
Yeah.
This one is
There's a line of dialogue that he's doing it for free.
Oh, well, eesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unpaid internships.
You know. Yeah.
Hope he's getting at least credit for some class.
Maybe, yeah, for grad school or something.
Also, I love how this character's motivation is food the entire time.
Relatable.
He talks about tacos.
Yeah, he's always like, well, we can get tacos on the way, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know if he ever does, because at least he would have been paid in that. But
he's hungry.
I guess, but also Sobek doesn't have money. So, okay, so the kids see in an article that a mummy went missing, and they get worried because every time, you know, there's mummy stuff, it could lead back to Harold. They're worried about Harold. And so Sobek and his assistant go into the car. They're on their way to get Sobek's staff. And then we go on a road trip to Rockport with Buzzy. Oh, I love it. I love this character, and I think it's
obsessed
so fun.
Obsessed with this character. I mean, this is like the classic sitcom best friend. This is like the Rhoda. This is like the Kathy Griffin from Suddenly Susan.
Oh.
This is like the Ethel from Lucy. It's just like I love everything that she had to offer.
Yes.
Driving around in this hearse like she's Claire Fisher from 6 Feet Under.
That's right.
Love her. Yep.
Yes. I love that. And I love, she's a couple years older, so she can be the chaperone for the weekend, but she's still like cool and hip and into the stuff that they're into.
And does she work at the museum?
The same height.
She worked at a store?
Like an oddities shop.
Antiquities.
That makes sense.
Oddities shop, yeah.
But like Zach Morris, she just has like a whole like wardrobe of just costumes that she can change into.
Oh, absolutely.
To like fool people, walk into this museum. Yeah.
Yes.
That figures.
Yeah. She knew to bring it all. I mean, and she has the space in her hearse, I guess, to store it. So we go on a road trip. Amy tells them on the way about Sobek and how he was Harold's best friend and then became his bitter rival.
Oh.
And we then see Rockport, which is like a Halloween town. They're super into it.
Literally was just going to say.
Love it. Mm-hmm. It was great. It gave me vibes of like a Hallmark Christmas movie, but if it was for Halloween.
Yeah, sure. So fun.
It did these feel towns like a always sleeker have, Halloween town. To
these
me.
Towns yeah. always have some special holiday event that like you're right in the middle of.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we like,
they
yeah,
have
there's
that
a
statue carny. That was like a jack-o'-lantern, but it was a person. Did you see that? And I was like, oh, Halloween Town has that giant pumpkin. To me, it felt like very much the same. It felt like 2022 Halloween Town.
Mm-hmm. And then also their hotel is a cool mansion called the Karloff Hotel.
I was going to say.
It's a Boris Karloff
like,
reference, which
Boris
I
Boris Karloff. Mm-hmm. So is
Wait,
this.
It's Karloff, right?
Karloff,
I said the wrong thing.
So is this hotel always Halloween themed or is this just special for the month?
I want to say that. Always Halloween.
I want to
say
always.
I feel like this town is like always Halloween. Yeah.
There are also just so many decorations in the hotel room itself. Where would they store those?
It's got to be like a Salem situation where it's like there's something going on in that town that makes it like a Halloween. Like even like, was it the where the alien was when I went to there? It was like everything was alien themed.
Roswell?
Yeah, Roswell. Mm-hmm. Everything had aliens on it. I think those towns are very fun.
I buy it. Also, like the people wearing the hotel workers with the white makeup looking like zombies. I think that's a year-round thing.
That would be
so
fun.
I think
so
they have to
fun.
Put on white makeup and, you know, dark circles under their eyes so
that's
they can look
undead.
That's got to
be really hard for your skin, though, you know?
Yeah. That's true. But then the head guy, it doesn't wear makeup, which I thought was a little unfair.
Oh, okay. So you're really trying to get higher up so that your skin can breathe.
So we meet Pop and Carl, and the scene was very how this scene ended was so funny when he's like, oh, Buzzy, I really like your earrings. And she's like, thank you. It's like the end of the scene. Anyway, there's a little bit of meat in the scene too. So we essentially find out that Amy's very high strung. The other Pop and Carl seem pretty relaxed about this whole wedding, and they know about Gilbert. They're excited to learn about Marshall.
It keeps sounding like you're saying Pop and Carl.
Pop and Carl.
Carl who pops and locks.
That's what I think. Give it up for Pop and Carl.
Maybe they're a dance duo professionally.
That's how they met. Yeah.
Yeah. and I mean that's kind of that. And so we go to their cool Halloween room.
Well,
and
no, this is a big moment in this movie because the dads are like, "Oh my God, we love Gutsy Gus." Like you're, and then they turn to the other kid and they're like, "And we're happy
and
you're here too."
And there's you.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
It was so like, oh
yeah.
No.
They're like, "We're excited to learn what your thing is."
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. That really got me. I was like, "Oh no."
Yeah.
These kids get booked the presidential suite. Can you believe that?
Truly.
Biggest hotel room in this house.
Yeah.
Like biggest room in the house.
It's like a two-bedroom suite with a pinball machine and, mm-hmm. I mean, a tablet room service. A Bluetooth in the toilet?
Dads make money. You know these dads make money.
Pop and Carl make money all year long as a dance duo that everyone pays top dollar to come see.
Yeah.
They go to Bueller's Jewelers to get Pop and Carl's rings.
Cameo!
And who do we see?
Gilbert!
We get a cameo from the original Gilbert, Adam Wiley.
I always remember Adam Wiley. I think that Adam Wiley was probably on every major child sitcom from the 90s. I mean, he was on, like, Boy Meets World. Yeah. We remember him from Kindergarten Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He was on Kindergarten Cop. I think that he's on season one of Veronica Mars, too. So, yeah.
Wow.
That guy is, like, had a heck of a career for a child actor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we see him now being the Bueller's Jewelers.
It's very fun. So we learn also in this scene about the evil mummy, but the evil mummy has a different color pendant, and the jeweler, Bueller the jeweler, I suppose, maybe his name.
Tough. It's tough to say. I
can't.
Bueller's Jewelers has red jasper, which is an evil gem. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved if they would have given a little like callback to Gilbert, because at the end of this scene he's like revived, because he kind of overhears what the kids are talking about, that the mummy has been revived.
Yeah.
But I would have liked a little like
that happened to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, not again.
Universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if his name was Gilbert. But anyway, it's just a little fun for, you know, those of us who have been on this journey.
Who watch every single Disney Channel original movie. Yeah.
Has he shown up in any other of them, or is he just in the one?
Oh, he was in Can of Worms.
He was in Can of Worms.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, so instead he'd be like, wow, what a can of worms, am I right?
Yeah, yeah, careful.
And the twist is you think it's a Under Wraps reference and it's a can of worms. Okay.
Oh,
Under Wraps 3, it's aliens.
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait for the can of worms sequel.
So is Zombies 3.
Zombies. And then there's a shared universe. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So they go to the museum and they swap out the mummies for mummykins, which Buzzy has made. And it's very funny because she's even like, I think I did a pretty good job on short notice, because she just made like.
Oh, she had all that. Like, she had all of that in the hearse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She did. So they swap out these like dummy mummies. They wake up Harold and Rose using mirrors to reflect the moonlight. And then we see Sobek breaking into a private collection to get his staff.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so the kids explain to Harold and Rose what's going on. They're basically like, Sobek's awake. He's trying to get you. And so we got you. And Marshall and Harold eat pizza. And Marshall tells Harold about his life. But, you know, Harold can tell something's a little wrong. And, you know, Marshall opens up about how he feels a little left out. The mummies mess around in the hotel room. They order a bajillion pizzas and a ton of room service.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's so funny. There is a really endearing moment where Harold and Rose, who, by the way, looks hella younger than Harold, right? Like, she's really, like, the yesification of this mummy is, like, incredible. Her eyes are beautiful. Her teeth are really nice, you know? Yeah. She's, like, way more expressive than Harold anyway, so, like, she's very well preserved, you know? But they're, like, having this moment where they're eating pizza. He's introducing her to pizza. And then he introduces... He's being really vulnerable in introducing his favorite thing, which is hot sauce. And there's that moment of, like, is she going to like the same things I like? Oh, and then she does. And it's, like, so... It's actually the most romantic thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was very cute. I stand.
It is very cute. So Marshall tells Gilbert he feels like they never hang out anymore. And Gilbert's like, what are you talking about? We hang out all the time. But he doesn't really hear it. He doesn't really understand.
He's tired of being the third wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the mummies see that there's a Halloween carnival and they decide to go, even though they were told to stay in the hotel room. Mm-hmm. And Amy gets an update that the scepter has been stolen. The kids go to the hotel room and find the mess and that the mummies are missing. Then Sobek finds the mummykins in the museum, gets really upset. And then we go and see the mummies at the carnival having fun. And this is where they do this really cool dance routine on this, like, giant DDR thing.
Is there a dance revolution scene in the first movie?
No.
I was just wondering if this was, like, a carryover.
He does dance at a school dance. But, yeah, it's not quite like this.
Right. There is my favorite moment in the entire movie is where they do really cutesy stuff and then they get their caricatures drawn by this mermaid, and it's a really cute, it's a very cute drawing. And then Harold looks and he goes to the arcade and they leave him, and she says, in I would say one of the most awkward and weirdest line deliveries to be ever said in cinematic history, and she says, everybody's a critic.
Yeah. I was thinking she must be someone's friend or something like that.
Sure. She's a friend of the producer. She's like a daughter of the producer or something.
Yeah. Because later when Sobek comes up to her, she also delivers a very terribly delivered line.
So bad. Also, she says, I can't draw you unless you pay first, which is like, did Harold and Rose have money? Because you drew them.
Yeah,
maybe. It's
I think that she's learning that policy from those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, maybe she's not a friend. Maybe she's just she was a caricature in that town, and they needed someone to actually draw.
Sure.
You know, a caricature.
Yeah, she really drew those.
She's an artist. They hired a real artist. You know.
That's true. I do think it was a missed opportunity when Sobek ripped the drawing and ran away for her to say the line again. Everybody's
that's what I thought
critic.
Too.
Come on now. Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity to say it bad twice.
Yeah. So I didn't look it up, but over this DDR dancing, it sounds like Gilbert is in
no,
the
it's
song.
Them singing.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's all of them? Okay.
That was the song that played at when I went to see D23 Expo when they came out to talk about the movie. That was the song that played that made me think that this was going to be a musical.
That's right, because you did say, you were like, oh, I think this is going to be a musical.
Yeah. And who's singing it? Like, it's
I think it's all the main kids are singing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was very catchy. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's very catchy, but I was getting very annoyed as the rules of this game because I'm like, this ain't no DDR.
They interrupt them like midway through it, and apparently they didn't lose any points for it.
Exactly. How is there a round that's freestyle? There's still buttons that you're clicking. I was upset.
It's just movements. It's just movements. The ground means nothing. The ground means nothing anymore. So that's what it means.
The grounds do mean nothing, yeah.
Yeah.
So Sobek and Larry find the caricaturist and they ask where the mummies went, and they're on the tail of the mummies. And the kids... they find them, and there's a chase to get away. Sobek uses his staff to shoot lasers at people. And while all this was happening, Amy dropped the rings.
No. Man. Why would you bring it with you?
You are entrusting a 14-year-old girl to go pick up engagement rings. When we got married, like, I don't even think we even gave our rings to our godson. Like, we just gave them to his dad. And it was just like, here, you're responsible for this.
Yeah.
I'm not handing off rings to, like, a kid.
Yeah, just goes to show Pop and Carl are really just there for the wedding. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, you know, let her handle the biggest part. But also, where did she have it stored? Because it was like a big, bulky box. You can't just put it in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She did, though.
She did, yeah. So look what happened.
The box was cute.
It was.
It was cute.
It was a little coffin.
So Sobek and Larry go to the jeweler, and he sees the red jasper and goes, oh, no. And then they blast him and tell... and so he ends up telling them that the wedding party's all staying at the Karloff Hotel because, you know, what choice did he have?
But he could also call the hotel and be like, hey, look, I just told some creepy people that you guys were staying there. Just a heads up. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't let them in.
True. So at the hotel, Amy realizes the rings are gone. And so she says, okay, I know. Let's have the mummies work at the party. And this, like, at the party, the mummies are doing some, like, TGI Fridays with,
they're
like...
They're so talented. They pick things up. They do everything. It makes me mad.
Yeah. Rose is, like, spinning cotton candy all around and, like, flinging it about. And Harold is, like, throwing popcorn in the air and catching it. It's very entertaining.
Wild.
I mean, you know, I guess they were supposed to keep a low profile, but... Sorry,
they can't. Themselves.
They're natural performers.
Yes.
I think it's funny that everyone's like, these people are dressed in really cool costumes. And no one's like, but they keep wearing the same costume.
Right.
So I have an observation about the costumes and being a gay wedding. So I know this is like a kids movie, but I was just thinking, wow, like there are gay men in the room on Halloween and I am not seeing one harness.
Jock strap.
Like, just, there is not a slutty costume to be found.
These kids are gonna be there. My problem is like these two men are obsessed with Halloween. They have their wedding on Halloween, and what do they come dressed as?
A firefighter and a Dalmatian.
I mean, I guess that you kind of got. I guess that you got sexy firefighter. I guess.
No, I don't buy it. It could have been sexier. No, could have been sexier. But my gripe is. Aren't you supposed to be dressed spooky? Be dressed spooky. Like,
sure.
That's the whole point.
They say later that they bonded over their love of old horror movies. Come as a universal monster.
Yeah,
you know?
Dracula and Swamp Thing.
I almost think that one of these guys, I mean, maybe both of them were late to like a wardrobe fitting. And they're just like, this is all we got.
You mean
this is all we pulled.
Actors?
Yeah. We can get together a firefighter and a dog.
Yeah.
We originally wanted you to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but that fitting had to take hours.
The latex will take 4 hours to put on. It does like it looks like people attending their child's wedding, not wedding, sorry, like party for fun. They're like, we're in. We're here,
yeah.
But we're really not.
That's not like the outfit that you would pick if you. But then again, that goes into the theory of they're not wedding people; they just want to get married, so they're just kind of showing up, you know. They're not really.
It's like they're not wedding people, but they're also not Halloween people.
Yeah. I also love any scenes like this in movies and TV. Especially when it comes to kid TV, of that we're going to empty out the wardrobe house of just all of these costumes that there is no way that any of these characters put any of these looks together. But you didn't really get that a lot in this movie of just sort of just like any time on a sitcom when you have like a masquerade party of just all of these costumes that there is no way that these people that attend this wedding are getting any of these looks together.
Yes. I love it. No, yes. Absolutely. I love that situation in TV or movies because they're all the same like level of effort put into the costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's fun. Except I will say, I believe in Hocus Pocus. It does seem like different levels of quality. So,
well, what's kind of clever about Hocus Pocus and how the mom is styled is that these are just like household items that she had to style Madonna's blonde ambition tour. So I kind of think that's kind of fun styling for that scene in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Harold and crew chase after... Oh, sorry. Sobek arrives, and he takes Rose. He takes her necklace off, so she mm-hmm. deanimates. And the rest of the crew chase after them, but Harold gets blasted by the staff. And then they get away. And Amy locks herself in a room for ruining the party, and she's really upset. And she tells her dad and Carl that she lost the rings through the door. And, you know, they don't seem that upset.
Yeah. They seem pretty chill about it.
Yeah, they're like, we had other rings. You chose those rings for us, but we never okayed these
rings.
Yeah,
we're not Halloween people, so...
So Marshall confronts.
Yeah, we're not Halloween people. This town is.
You know what? That kind of makes sense for, like, you know how kids, you see your mom likes dolphins, and then you just buy your mom dolphins for the rest of your life. Like, moms yep. become typecasted as something. Like, my mom was a flamingo mom, you know?
Ooh,
so okay. like, they are Halloween dads. They met while watching a horror movie, so now their whole relationship is based on horror, but they're not Halloween people, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, could you imagine if all their friends was like, you know what, we'll plan it on Halloween, like they sure. had nothing mm-hmm. to do with their
they
wedding.
They had zero say in any of this wedding.
Oof.
Yeah, they were wow. like, we moved to that other town for a reason, we don't need to be yeah. Yeah. Halloween anymore.
Damn.
Yeah. But Amy's but like, no, we're definitely so going to do it in Rockport.
Pop and Carl seem so chill. They're just like,
they're just
yeah,
popping and Carling
all
over.
They just want
to
get married. They don't care how or why yeah. or what, you know.
They probably already chill. Got married. And this yeah. is all just for everyone that is attending.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
This is just for Amy.
Wow, you're right. Wow.
Where's wow. that movie? Really puts this movie into perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Marshall confronts Gilbert because he and Amy don't listen to him and said that he's like, I warned you this would happen. And he flips out about them being in their own world. And we're getting a little bit of a parallel between, you know, Sobek and Harold and all that situation there. So Sobek and the dude, Larry, take Rose to a warehouse where he plans on, you know, like placing them forever. And then Carl and Pop and Carl chat with Amy, and they give her a pep talk, and they tell her that they love her and support her no matter what. Everything's fine. We don't need rings to get married. We just want to be with each other, and we want to be married. And she's sorry and feels still upset.
Yeah. She overhears what the argument is about too. So she's taking it all in. It's a bad day for her. It's rough for her.
Oh yeah, this whole trip. Can you imagine? Like, you went away for the weekend thinking it was gonna be like such a fun time, and all this happens. Wow.
Yeah.
So the friends all reconcile and they apologize, very much like, wow, we didn't know we were treating you like this, Marshall. We're so sorry. And it was very like, in a very mature way. And I'm surprised mm-hmm. that they were all able to do that so quickly.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. So is this a formula that you've seen, now that you've seen all of them, is this sort of a story formula that you see in all of these movies? I'm just kind of curious of, like, do they sort of have, like, a story template that you could fit in any of these movies?
It depends. There are types of movies, for
okay.
sure. And so, like, within those types, you will see it. And, like, do you mean if there's, like, a conflict and then, like, a really clear
yeah.
resolution? Like, that, yeah, that does happen.
Main character that's really down on themselves, gets the pep talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
oh,
able
yeah.
to express themselves very clearly, very easily. Yeah, that does happen. But so they go to the warehouse. And they tie up Larry, but then he gets loose. And they put Rose's amulet back on. Sobek's court wakes up and they all fight, and then callback, throwback to the first movie, Gutsy Gilbert. Well, first he gets scared and he kind of like runs yeah. away, and he's like, hey, guess what? I'm not Gutsy Gilbert. This does scare me. But then he's able to save the day again.
This is scary.
By climbing on a planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that could have ended so badly.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
seen those TV shows where people jump on things like American Gladiator or Warrior
oh
thing
gosh.
Where they miss, you know? And I'm just
oh,
like,
boy.
He could have fell off that so easily.
Oof. And like,
yeah, he could have been impaled by a shard of the cracked globe.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
broke those
but
legs
no, it's
falling
a, it's
down.
It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
He was totally fine. He like somersaulted out of that freaking globe.
Through Larry, Sobek berates Harold for stealing the love of his of Sobek's life and says, now everyone must pay. But Rose breaks it up. She's like, yo, dude, like, I didn't like you. Like, I like Harold. We're like totally. Yeah, I can choose who I'm with. This is my boyfriend. Then they use the shields like mirrors, as they learned earlier, to reflect Sobek's staff magic back on him, and he de-animates. And the kids are like, wow, hope that never happens to us, because there are three of us, and there were three of them, so wouldn't that be, that's crazy, like, let's be friends forever. Larry has the rings for Amy, and also, they're like, we gotta go to a wedding. Larry's like, I like weddings, and so...
Yeah. Also, do you have any change of clothes? Because I've been wearing the same
right?
clothes for a while. It's such a weird aside. Like,
there are a few of those in this movie. Like, you know, when they're going to the carnival and they're parking, Amy's like, oh, go around the corner. There's free parking there. And
yeah,
like,
that was
free
very
parking.
Funny. Honestly, that's the writer has lived in LA long enough that they're like,
sure.
We need to specify that there is free parking around the corner and how exciting
right.
that is.
at the wedding, we have a hollow wedding, and at the wedding, the mummies, sorry. So first, in the car ride there, Amy explains wedding rings to Rose. And
right.
so then at the wedding, Rose asks Buzzy if she can borrow her earrings, and they use them like wedding rings.
This is cute.
And so
the
they
scene's
exchange-
very sweet.
Very, very sweet. They exchange rings and they enjoy the party. And then at almost midnight, the kids go put the mummies back. Bada bing, bada boom. That's the end.
Yeah. And then the kid is like, hold on 1 second, and puts a picture of them all like, someone isn't going to take that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
In
that.
This ancient
like,
artifact.
Immediately.
He didn't like tuck it in the wrappings anymore. Just put it like right in his hands.
Yeah. He's like made
it's
a
like,
plaque out of it.
That's going to be thrown away.
And I was wondering, or I was waiting for there to be a little callback, like a la Home Alone 2, where someone's like,
oh,
you paid $967 for room service.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, this hotel seems like these 70 pizzas totally check out going to the presidential suite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would feel like they would run out of dishes, so wouldn't they have to at least make a call to be like, hey, how do you want these delivered?
They did have a funny joke where he asked for a tip, and then they didn't give it to him, you know?
That felt very Home Alone, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like
gratuities are included.
Like, I feel like this movie did miss the concierge character being like a foil to these kids. Maybe there was just too many things going on in the script
too
with
many
mummies.
Things going on, or maybe they shot it and they were like, you know what, this isn't working, this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this. I think Pop and Carl own that hotel because it's like they just seem so...
Oh, they end up like offering them cash for it.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Then never mind.
Oh, no. I was going to say, like, I think that after the events of the movie, they're just like, we're going to buy this hotel.
In cash.
Mm-hmm. I would love. Now give us that series. Poppin' Carl's Karloff Hotel.
I love that.
Yeah. It'd be too gay for Disney Plus. It'd be on Logo.com or something.
Yeah.
No, it'd be on Hulu.
It would be on Out TV.
Okay, so now that we've watched Under Wraps 2, what is the moral? What's the lesson to be learned in watching Under Wraps 2?
Having three friends is hard because there's always going to be two that hang out, and then there's going to be one who's like, what about me? And also, you know, just because a couple likes something doesn't mean that that's their brand, you know? Like, I'll give it, like, you know, if you like Disney, that doesn't mean that you're, as we said before, you can like Disney and not be a Disney adult or a Disney gay, you know? Don't let people define you. And if you're a content creator, find your angle, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to find your niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I took away from this movie.
that's good advice.
Yeah, that's
though.
Good.
That's, yeah. My takeaway is I guess you can be someone in your mid to late 20s, maybe early 30s, who constantly hang out with children. It's not weird.
Yeah.
It's totally cool if you're like an eccentric person named Buzzy.
Well, cool, is Buzzy in high school? I kind of take it that she's like a senior in high school. And she can, and she just has like a driver's license. I don't know. I didn't watch the other movie.
She has her own store. So I feel like she's okay. At least...
So yeah. She's like a small business owner, I see.
Yeah.
So she's giving me like, you know, 20, which, I mean, sure. I mean, we need someone like Buzzy in the plot of Under Wraps. It wouldn't be the same movie without Buzzy. But yeah, it's just like, that is a very odd thing. Also, I would say my piece of advice to the lady playing the mermaid, everyone's a critic. Work on that line a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. We yeah. are critics, and we are saying that, you know, you need to work on your everyone's a critic.
I would say a moral of the story is if you work in a museum and you're eating a meatball sub, maybe just, like, sit down and, you know, sit down at
a table. Have that in the break room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be careful.
That's a good point.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what was he doing? He was an intern at this museum?
He was working overnight, too.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
It sounds like they made him step in as a security
guard? Like, I think he's just like security. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
Poor interns.
Somebody called out. He had to cover it.
I did want to work in the Disney archives, and they told me that I needed museum experience on my resume in order to even be considered for an interview. Wow. So maybe he's trying to be... work in the Walt Disney Archives, and this internship is how he's getting it on his resume. You know, maybe that's his backstory. I wrote it for him.
Okay, okay. Now, let's cast ourselves. Who would we play in Under Wraps 2?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Again, I don't remember who we casted ourselves
so
in the
first
one.
So many fun characters.
No.
So many fun characters.
I mean, I just got to go right with Buzzy. I mean, that is just like a character actor's dream right there.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like women have made entire careers of just playing that type.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott, you would be a good Buzzy for sure.
Claire, I think you could be 100% much better caricature artist.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wouldn't be able to do the caricature part.
That's
but
fine.
But can you say everyone's a critic?
A critic.
Okay. Well, you got a callback. We're not totally sure if you got the gig.
Okay. Well, can you improvise on your last line and say it again?
Okay. Wow. Ugh. Everyone's a critic. Man.
Okay, it seems like you don't want the job. It seems like you don't want the job.
What's wrong? What's wrong with that?
Okay,
totally added.
Everyone really is a critic.
Yeah, wow. Everyone really is a critic. Look straight at the camera, wink. Look back, growl.
Honestly, you got the job.
Yeah, you got the job.
You got the job.
Thank you.
I'm the producer. You got the job.
Yeah. And I'm the producer's friend. You got the job. Rachel, you are playing Rose, specifically in the cotton candy scene.
Oh, I love that part. That's so fun.
She was great.
I feel like I could juggle with cotton candy because then I'm not as afraid that it's going to hit me or cut me, you know, like even balls, when you're juggling balls, they could smack you in the face, you know, but cotton candy smacks you in the face. Delicious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Almost desirable to be smacked in the face.
Like cotton candy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oscar.
You're Cubic. Okay. No. Wait,
what? Cubic?
Kubek? What was the name of the bad guy?
Oh, who's not in this movie? Oh, last time, that's definitely who you were, yeah.
Yeah,
Kubot.
Kubot!
The part I auditioned for and didn't get? Yeah, Kubot.
Yeah,
Kubot.
Insane. Yeah, I still got cast as Kubot in this one.
Like, so you've been cast. Congratulations. You never need to come in, and you will not be getting a paycheck.
Oscar, I know you don't like big roles. You like to be in the background. Absolutely. I do think that you would be fine as Larry. Is that his name?
Yeah, that does make sense. I did see it and was like, why didn't I audition for that role?
Yeah.
That's so insane
also,
to me.
The role is just eating.
Yes, true. Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's eating and being sort of subservient, lower status character. Those are my favorite kind of characters to play. So
yeah,
interesting. I need to have a conversation with my manager.
They were probably like, no, he's a Kubot.
Yeah.
He's a Kubot.
Yeah.
We can't possibly.
Showback.
Like, he got a callback for Kubot.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But did you have a person, though, in mind? Because you always have someone in mind.
For me?
Yeah.
One of the dads.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking.
Okay.
But that's still too big of a role. Actually, one of the zombie-faced attendees at the hotel. That's who I would have played. That would have been fun. So, Scott, in every DCOM, we have a category called Zaddy Watch, where we rate the dads of every Disney Channel original movie. And, well, today we're going to do them both. This is a cumulative score of both dads.
Poppin' and Carl.
Okay.
Carl, as one unit.
I'm looking at their IMDb photos right now.
Okay, amazing. So you're taking this seriously, which
I
like. Yeah,
I am.
So it is a combination score of, are they a good parent, and how hard are they? So if they're good on both accounts, they get a platinum Zaddy, then gold, silver, bronze, daddy, dad, and father is the worst score you can give them. So where do Poppin' Carl, where did they rank on the Zaddy scale?
I mean, I think they rank pretty high. I mean, they're pretty cool with their daughter losing the wedding rings. I mean, they entrusted her to plan cocktail hour, so I guess that's pretty high. What's the highest category?
Platinum.
I mean, sure, platinum.
Whoa!
And they're pretty cute too. And they make a very handsome couple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pop seems like a pretty cool dad.
Yeah. So while watching the movie, I thought Carl was a little bit cuter than Pop, but looking at their IMDb pictures, Pop is good looking.
Oh, Claude really? Knowlton can get it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Pop and Carl, very good looking, and they seem very chill, which you gotta love. And also, the number one thing that I always look for, do they have money? And it seems like they've got a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
They gave their 14-year-old daughter a credit card to just buy whatever she wants for their shocktail party. And also, they don't get mad about the amount of pizzas that are on the room bill. So, you know,
they can swing it.
Automatic platinum zaddies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think these two, they're basically like dream dads. They're so chill. They're so cool. They invited their daughter's friends to come to their wedding. Also, it's so fun to have a hollow wedding, even though, you know, they may or may not really be Halloween fans the way that the wedding would make you believe they are. But yeah, both attractive, both so supportive and really sweet, almost to a point where I'm like, okay, I feel like they should be a little bit a little angrier, or not even that, but a little more like, okay, well, we at least need to get to the bottom of where these rings are. But still, you know what? I love Pop and Carl. Plus, I love that they're a dance team and they have a hollow wedding. And just all of it is so fun. I'm giving them both platinum Zaddy. Pop and Carl.
Yeah, Pop and Carl are both... They got money. You know, Rachel and I think alike. They got money. Money, money. That's amazing. They're both attractive. I think I'm more on the Carl side than I am on the Pop side. But they're both attractive men. Now, do I like that they had their wedding on Halloween? They didn't give me Halloween fan vibes.
Sure.
No, I felt like that was a bit insidious. I felt that was a bit evil of them.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I would just never do that to my friends. The just like, guess what? Cancel your Halloween plans.
Yes, exactly.
You're coming to our destination wedding in this town.
Absolutely. It's a lot to ask, but if we're friends with you, we know. Like, for example, my friend got married on Halloween, and I was fully like, yes, absolutely. You and your husband are Halloween freakazoids. Like, absolutely. These guys don't seem like the Halloween type at all. So I'm like, why are you doing this? What nefarious sort of deal did you get at the hotel?
Now, Pop wasn't introduced in the first movie, right? They just talked about him off camera?
They were both talked about off camera.
Yeah. So for that reason, they could be platinum, but they're getting gold Zaddy status for me. Because it feels a little manipulative to have a wedding on Halloween when you aren't big Halloween fans. To me, seemingly.
It was all for Amy. She picked it, you know?
Yeah.
What if they had arrived both as mummies?
That'd be funny.
Platinum. Platinum status.
Yeah.
Hands down, right away.
I feel like they put zero effort.
I would have been pissed.
To those costumes.
I'm like, a firefighter and a dog? I would be furious with my ass showing up like fucking the Bride of Frankenstein, and they're showing up as a firefighter and a dog. No.
Oscar,
no, no.
I have a question. What did you go to the wedding that you were invited to as?
I dressed up. Like, it wasn't a costume wedding. It was just a wedding.
Are costumes mandatory? If I'm planning this wedding, like, that is stressing me out.
Oh, that's hard to make very clear to your guests also, huh? Because also it would be weird to be like, this is formal. Please don't wear a costume to our wedding that we chose to have on Halloween.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't said, but there were no one else dressed in costumes at the wedding. So
then again, if it's formal, maybe you would not want to be in a costume.
Right.
Unless it's
I guess my costume was dressing up fancy because I don't.
Sure.
I don't do it, so yeah. I guess I dressed up as a fancy person.
You were James Bond.
I was James Bond. That's right. I was James Bond. Okay, now it's time to rate this movie out of 5 bottles of hot sauce. How many bottles of hot sauce do you give Under Wraps to?
Wow. You know, I'll go. This was such... What a fun surprise. It's a sequel. It's a new story. It's a new movie. It's Halloween, and I feel like it hit all those parts right. And even though... I mean, it was a lot of just, like, chasing after people. I still loved it. I loved the ambiance of it. I loved that we had a wedding, and especially we had a gay wedding. How cool. And I'm going to give it 5 bottles of hot sauce.
Whoa.
Because I know. But it's like seeing a movie like this for the first time as a full adult and knowing that I probably would have loved it as a kid. Like, I think that it was fun. And honestly, I watched it twice because I took notes the second time I watched it. And it was great both times. It didn't feel like a chore. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah. I'm going to agree. I'll give this also 5. I thought this was really fun. You know, I'm also basing this based on all of the DCOMs. Looking back, I'm like, this nailed it because it was a sequel that I enjoyed. And other than High School Musical 2, which is the best of the High School Musicals, usually sequels are not great. And in life,
I'll add Cheetah Girls 2 onto that. I'll add Cheetah Girls 2.
Oh, Cheetah Girls 2. So you know what? For a non-musical sequel, it really nailed it. And also, like, it's so exciting to finally get good Halloween DCOMs again. And I'm so glad that the next generation of little kiddos are getting them. There was something that one of our listeners messaged us on, like, Instagram or something like that about how they were, like, a different generation of DCOMs and how we feel about, like, the Halloween towns and the smart houses and all that stuff they felt about, like a later thing. And it's like, I'm so excited that kids nowadays get a movie that's fun like this. Also, I did really like that Marshall had this moment, because in the Marshalls of the Under Wraps before, they were just boring kids who didn't really have a story, like didn't have a thing other than this mummy is a part of their life. So when you take away the mummy, of course they're gonna have like an existential crisis of what am I. And it was fun to see. And also Poppin' Carl is a fun thing. Five hot sauces.
So for me, you know, I loved the first Under Wraps. I liked the original one and I loved the remake. I thought it was like really good, really fun. The writing was crisp. I think this one was also equally fun. Not as fun as the original Under Wraps, but I do appreciate the queer representation in this movie. We saw two men kiss in a DCOM. Like, come on. I didn't think that was going to happen in my lifetime. And it happened, and I'm so glad.
Don't cry.
It's really cool. I like this idea of, like, what friendship means, like, especially, like, a complicated friendship, especially when it comes to three people. And then you see two people sort of, like, grow apart and what that means to you. And also, like, a friend that you've had that you're gonna lose. I think it's, like, an interesting sort of tone to the movie. It's, like, it's got enough heart that was nice, and it was just bad enough that made me chuckle. You know what I think? Case in point, the lady, the mermaid lady. Holy crap. The dancing scene was so chaotic. I was like, what's going on here? And I also like that it felt very Hocus Pocus to me. It felt very like 90s children's movie with like the villain, which we didn't have before. Just like an actual clear villain. So again, not as good as Under Wraps, but still pretty fun. I'm going to give this 4 hot sauces.
All right. So I was thinking today, I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched any of these movies. Like I said, I was kind of the later half of grade school when they started doing these movies. And I think that I was probably watching MTV at that time, probably not made for Disney Channel movies. So this was at least my first Disney made for TV movie in quite a long time. And I enjoyed it. Like, I'm a sucker for Halloween. I love anything that has to do with Universal Monsters. And I think that they had fun with these mummies. And also, kind of going in theme with the original Boris Karloff movie, and any good mummy adaptation, is that there's always a love story at the center of just sort of anything in the backstory with the mummy. It always has to do doomed love, unrequited love. Like, it's always there in the property. And I think that they had fun with it in this script. So I'm going to do 4 hot sauces.
Nice. Pretty good review of Under Wraps, too.
And I also have to say, like, how has, like, the Fox News right not, like, caught on to this movie?
Right.
Of just sort of a gay wedding and a children's movie. It's just kind of going under the radar for for like Fox and Friends. I don't know. Yeah. I kind of like that it's just very nonchalant. Like, oh, there's a gay wedding in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the alt-right, the right is, you know, they're scared of spooky stuff. They're like, oh, mummies and gays.
But this one's just going right under the radar.
Because Halloween is evil to start with.
Yeah. Sure. Exactly. It's the devil's holiday, you know?
Yeah. So those parents that would get upset aren't even letting their kids watch Halloween movies in the first place. Yeah. So
I like it. Okay, we did it. We talked about Under Wraps too. This was incredible. Scott, thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. Yeah. Tell us, where can people follow you? What are some of the projects that you're working on?
Sure.
Tell us about your social media handles.
So I do Movies That Made Us Gay, and we are on anywhere that you stream your podcast. I do it with my husband, Pete. And our show, we pretty much just talk about, I mean, just sort of movies that have queer followings. They don't necessarily have to be quote-unquote gay movies. Oscar came on for The Truth About Cats and Dogs, and that's just like a story of female friendship. And you know who loves female friendships in movies is the gays. Like, we love all of that. So I mean, we just kind of, it's really fun programming our show, because it's not like we do exclusively horror movies or coming out movies with gay characters. We cover it all, and we are in October right now, and October is always an exclusively, like, I have fun with the programming. Like, we do scary movies, we do horror comedies. We just did Night of the Comet. That's probably the movie that's going to be out when
incredible
this episode drops. We're going to be talking about Ed Wood. this month. We're finally getting to Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Warriors, which has been talked about on our show since we began the podcast. When did you guys begin your show? What year?
2017?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember.
17?
Okay, so we've been like 2019, so you guys are, you have a few more years on us. But we are on Movies That Made Us Gay on Facebook and Instagram, and NTMUG Pod episodes are out every Friday.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Scott, again, thank you so much for being our guest.
Of course.
And we're fully caught up. We have made it, y'all. This is a huge milestone.
How many movies was it?
It was 113 Disney. Wait, 114 Disney Channel original movies.
Wow.
Plus,
okay,
however many came before
like
that.
So 60 something.
Yeah, we've
Disney
got
animated
like
movies.
300
and then, like,
episodes of this podcast.
So where are you going to take the show now?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Are you going to do anything that's new? Like, are you going to do a Hocus Pocus 2 episode?
We sometimes in between do a little palate cleanse with a new one, and we might. But I think after the DCOMs, we said we were going to do a little hiatus because we tend to do that between seasons. So I don't know. We don't know, but we got to keep everybody on their toes.
Yes. If you don't mind me asking, like, what has been your favorites of all of the movies that you've watched?
All of the movies?
Yeah. I mean, we're just saying like the DCOM movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we bring up Brink a lot as a favorite. Xenon, Cheetah Girls, of course. Halloween ones. We love a lot of the Halloween
ones. I think those movies in particular have a big soft spot for millennials, too. I feel like whenever you see people post about any of these movies, they always stand those ones really hard.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did have a few surprises later on. Like, what are some of the newer ones that we enjoyed? Spin. Under
Spin
apps
was great. Upside Down Magic
was super fun.
Yeah, they're like actually these new DCOMs are pretty good. Like they're solid movies. Yeah.
Just the fact that they're on Disney Plus now instead of Disney Channel is maybe why they're not as popular talked about. Maybe I wonder if that's hurting them.
I feel like they're buried pretty deep in Disney Plus too. Like, you kind of have to search for them.
That's true. And you always get kind of a weird recommendation sometimes after finishing a movie. Yeah. It'll recommend, like, Life is Rough, which, as we know, is one that I had
God.
A rough
no
time
more.
With.
No more of that.
It would be cool if they showed you a chronological list on the app.
Kind of like what they do with the animated features.
Yeah.
So, but there are some really good ones out there still. And it's exciting to see that they're still making ones that even us adults can enjoy on the first watch.
And now it's like, what does Hocus Pocus count as? Because it's like, that's just sort of like, I mean, just
like
tentpole
Disney
Plus property.
Exclusive,
And it's so interesting that when you just look at the production history of Hocus Pocus, is that that was developed for a made-for-TV movie for the Disney Channel. And once they got the talent of Bette Midler, it just sort of became like a real movie.
It's so funny how these things develop. That's part of what we like to talk about on the podcast too, is how things change and how they could have been one way if this one thing was removed or if something else was added. It would have changed the whole thing. It's cool.
It's amazing. Well, you know, this is not goodbye, but this is goodbye for now.
See ya.
Thank you all for listening to Inside.
What?
Everybody's a critic. I'm just going to keep, that's just going to be in my head forever. But until then, thanks everyone for listening to Inside the Disney Vault. You guys have been amazing. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for coming on this journey. Can you believe it? I can't believe that we watched all of the DCOMs.
I believe it. Because I did it.
It's really wild. Well, because of that, we're going to take a little hiatus. Because, you know, we've been doing this for how long? 2.5 years? 3 years?
Oh, my gosh.
February 2020.
But not to fear. We do have our Patreon. Patreon. Why can't I say that word? And that's patreon.com/insidethedisneyvault. And we'll add some content there. We'll continue to do some live watch parties and keep the chat going, you know. And where can people reach out to us if they want to keep the chats going?
Listen, it's quite easy. They can reach out to us on Instagram at Inside the Disney Vault, or they can follow us on Twitter and comment, share, retweet, anything at ITDV Podcast.
Absolutely. And I'm sure if you're interested, you can follow us individually on Instagram as well. Mm. We've got Rachel is at Lady Tom Hanks. I am at Clary_Poppins. And Oscar is at Ozzymo.
That's right. Ozzymo, baby.
And now that we've finished the entire season, if you've listened to us, leave a review. What are you waiting for?
It's so fun.
Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like. Well, mostly tell us what you liked. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah.
About the DCOMs.
About the DCOMs. Yeah. Yeah. Because we talk about what we like all the time.
Don't,
so we
don't
hear
talk about us in the review. Just talk about the DCOMs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about what you all thought, because I know what we all thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got many podcasts about it.
You could also leave a thing about what you think we should do for season 4.
Yes,
wow.
There are a lot of
4
options.
Seasons.
Let's see, we've had talk about we should do straight-to-video sequels.
That's right.
We've had thoughts about doing show.
I feel like Oscar's
shows?
Seen more of those than we have, so this would be awesome.
That is Oscar's
honestly,
specialty.
Yeah.
Yes. This would
be Cinderella 3, A Stitch in Time, come on.
I mean, with Disney Plus, man, they're giving us so much content now.
They really are.
Yeah.
Well,
oh my God, we could we could do a Marvel season. We could do a Star Wars season.
That would be challenging.
People are asking about that. We could even do Star Wars.
I'm into it.
We could even do a National Geographic.
We could do a Simpsons where we watch all 35
Disney
years.
Planet. Disney Earth, where we watch all the nature documentaries.
Let's make season 4 completely nature inspired.
Did you see that monkey?
Yeah, the monkey would rate a platinum zaddy on my zaddy scale. Yeah,
that elephant sure was a great princess.
Yeah. That whale scared Oscar.
Yeah, it certainly did.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, let us know what you think. We're clearly open to suggestions, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, thank y'all for being so loyal and cool and like sticking with us.
Yeah.
For all of these years, y'all are so amazing.
It's really, really cool that there are so many of y'all out there joining us and chatting. We love it.
Well, we gotta wrap it up.
We do.
We gotta wrap
it
up too.
Until next time.
Everyone's a critic.